Tampa Star. We are back. 2015 NFL mock draft. Radioactive sports style. 105 The Ticket. We've got a lot of people that have been joining the show to try and help out with their selection out of their city where their team resides. And we've had a lot of fun doing that, calling on all the different teams. Up until now, of course, the Bucs took Jameis Winston. Give you an idea of where we're at right now. The Titans took Marcus Mariota. The Jags took Amari Cooper. The Raiders took Leonard Williams. Redskins got Dante Fowler. The Jets picked up Kevin White. The Bears took Brandon Scherff. Damn it. The Falcons got Bud Dupree. We think he's going to slide up that much, believe it or not. Then the Giants, looking for a little help in the middle on that defensive line. Danny Shelton. The Rams. Well, we're going to find out right now because Elizabeth Meineke is standing by.
Hey, guys.
What's up,
girl?
I haven't talked to you forever.
I know. It feels like it's been forever, right? The playoffs were so long ago for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're way over that whole St. Louis Blues
thing.
You
got to forget about that. You just got to let that one slide.
Right. We're still working here as we're getting ready for round two against the Chicago Blackhawks on Friday, but you're the beat reporter for Fox Sports Midwest. You cover Mizzou football, you cover the St. Louis Blues and the St. Louis Rams. What's on the docket? What do you think that the Rams, don't make your pick as of yet, but what would you say that the St. Louis Rams are looking for going into this draft?
Yeah, I mean, I was out at Rams Park yesterday, and both, the general manager and the head coach were appropriately coy about what their philosophy is going into this weekend. But I do think they have to look at that offensive line. I mean, the right side right now is basically non-existent. So I think if things play out kind of the way that you guys predicted this afternoon, I think that's probably where you'll see them go in that general direction.
Even though the Rams took offensive tackle Greg Robinson out of Auburn, number two overall last year.
That's correct. But, I mean, not only has he struggled, they've lost a lot of guys since then. They lost their center. They lost Jake Long. They've lost... I mean, it's getting pretty sparse along that offensive line, and they're still... We're still looking at talking with, right tackle Joe Barksdale. They're not sure he'll be back yet or not. So, you know, as one person who works for a scouting agency told me, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is if you can't protect him. So all that work that they did to get Nick Foles and kind of start over in that position, if they can't protect him, it's going to be another long season.
All right, Elizabeth, who do you think that the St. Louis Rams will take at number 10, one spot before the Minnesota Vikings in Thursday night's NFL draft in Chicago?
I think, based on how things have played out this afternoon for you guys, I think it'll be Andres Pete, a tackle out of Stanford. He's one of the highest...
Andres Pete, tackle, Stanford. A smart and polished player, Pete should contribute immediately in the NFL. He started his final 27 games for the Cardinal and was named AP All-America last season. Pete is at his best run blocking. His pass protection needs improvement, but the building blocks are there to be a quality left tackle.
So to cut you off there, Elizabeth, so where do you see him playing, right side or left side?
No problem. They could probably start him out of right tackle, but if Greg Robinson still struggles at left tackle, they might be able to switch him over there, and it helps give them a little bit of insurance, depending on how Greg Robinson continues to develop this season.
Well, it'd be a challenge to have to move him from right tackle to left tackle, but they haven't really had anyone, a bona fide left tackle, anchoring over there since... Orlando Pace played a little left tackle. Let's see. Jake Long ended up actually playing some left tackle there. But it's been a long time. And then I go all the way back to the St. Louis Cardinals. So, hey, how about Luis Sharp? We can go with Luis Sharp on that one if need be. And then I think that it's a good selection. Elizabeth, I think that's probably going to be the case, too. He is selected. He's expected, rather, to go higher in this draft by a lot of people. I'm looking at several different mock drafts from, Charles Davis and Charlie Casserly. They have him going higher.
Wow.
But anyway, and I trust Charlie with everything. But Elizabeth, I don't trust you very much.
I do. I trust you with my life, Elizabeth.
I don't trust you. I don't know what it is. But it's,
well, you're probably not the only one. But
well, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're too nice to us. You're too good. You don't fire back like you ought to. Just tell us all. Tell us all off for once.
I'll have to work on my trash talking in the hockey.
Yeah, you're
here.
Too nice to us.
I haven't had much time to catch my breath between hockey and the end of hockey for us in St. Louis and the start of the draft here. I'll have to work on that a little bit.
Yeah, start crushing us a little bit. Anyway, maybe we can lay off. What do you think? Meet you halfway.
I don't know. Is it going to be harder for me to get mean or you guys to get nice? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're not really good at being nice. So,
Elizabeth, thank you very much. We are running out of time. We got to spend a lot of time here on the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, best of luck with that to you guys.
Thank
we're
going
to need
Take
a little
care.
Luck, I think. So anyway, and that's just exactly where we're at right now. And I've been given that task to mull over.
But I'm going to argue with you because there are so many options right now. Vic Beasley's still on the line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, still hasn't been drafted yet. He's falling. I think that the Minnesota Vikings, obviously echoing what Rick Spielman said yesterday in his pre-draft press conference, he wants to trade back. I mean, that's no surprise. I've been saying that for like a month.
More than likely, I think that probably would be the case. That's how he sees it most of the time.
Especially right now with there being Vic Beasley, your guy Trey Waynes, Devontae Parker. I like Eric Kendricks, who you could trade down for, the middle linebacker out of UCLA. He's fantastic as well. There are so many other options. Obviously, any of the running backs, if we keep Adrian Peterson, we don't need to do that. Landon Collins, I don't know if they trade back to get him. They wouldn't probably take him at number 11. I know for a long time that they were high on Randy Gregory. However, Randy Gregory is high on weed.
High on everything.
That's a problem. Minnesota Vikings, though, number 11. This is the time we've all been waiting for.
I mean, there are a lot of names out there, and they're just names that we could just go on and on and on about. Height, weight, speed, combines. But a player. Let's find a player that can fill in and help, not just fill in, but fill in a void for the next 7 or 8 years and do a great job and maybe end up in a Pro Bowl or two at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with Trey Waynes.
Michigan Waynes. State.
Yeah,
what
a quarterback.
A surprise.
Well, we didn't see that coming, did we? I mean, Vic Beasley is tempting right now. It really is. Right now, with Vic Beasley still on the board, that is, I don't know if that's going to happen. Because we picked for Atlanta, and we gave him Bud Dupree because of the trend.
I don't know, but Vic Beasley's been falling on draft boards.
I'm looking at four of them right now. He is. So I'm running with my gut. I'm thinking they like him. They love him a lot. Maybe they think he's going to fall at Trey Waynes, and they would like to trade back and finally still snag him back where they think he's going to land. And that's probably what they'll try and do. But for our draft, we're going verbatim right down the line, and we're hitting 11 with Trey Waynes. He's available. He's sitting in our lap right now. We're going to take him.
651-989-9105. If you have a comment on the Superstars pick for the Minnesota Vikings being Trey Waynes, you thought he maybe should have gone someplace else, or you think it's going to go a completely different way tomorrow night. Obviously, Rick Spielman saying he wants to trade back from number 11, but here's our cute little montage for Trey Waynes.
Trey Waynes, cornerback, Michigan State.
Four receivers in the pattern. Throws and it is intercepted. Intercepted down to a knee goes Trey Waynes. And somehow the Spartans survive.
A bump and run specialist, the Spartans usually left Waynes on an island, and he survived, to say the least. 3 interceptions and 8 pass breakups last season while being named All Big Ten. Just 2 touchdowns allowed over the last 2 seasons. Waynes backed all of that up by starring at the Combine.
He stole the show at Combine, 4.340. Incredible. You know, he had 19 reps at 2.25. Who cares about that kind of stuff? He's got great length. He's got incredible speed. He's a little bit handsy, though. He's grabby.
But so is Xavier Rhodes.
Well,
they had to work with Xavier Rhodes,
yeah.
And he got in a lot of trouble last year.
Give me a little both what you have with him, though. I'm giving you a little both. I mean, he is that guy. He's got great instinct. He does come up on force well to support the run. Some people think he's not much of a he's an aggressive tackler. He's an aggressive football player. I mean, I don't know where they get that. He's a sure tackler. But the problem he may have, and he can stay with anyone deep. He can stay with any deep route. He can run right alongside step for step. But he gets grabby. He pulls and he tugs and he plays the little arm, the strong arm game with the wide receiver. And they're going to call him on that. So let's hope that he learns his lesson when he gets here and gets in purple and he becomes that bookend that we're looking for. And for a long, long time, let's hope that he learns a few things in training camp and they clean him up.
But if there's anybody that can fix that, it's secondary coach Jerry Gray, who I have all the faith in the world. He did a great job back in Buffalo as their defensive coordinator. We all know that Mike Zimmer is fantastic. And look what he did with Pac-Man Jones and Terrence Newman and turning these guys that looked like they were in too much trouble, whether it be in their career or off the field issues, and turning them into really good cornerbacks there in Cincinnati. Kind of you saw the progression with Xavier Rhodes here with the Minnesota Vikings when he came just his first year in. Now, my question for you is Vic Beasley's on the board. Devontae Parker also on the board. Both of those players, Vic Beasley, I mean, wasn't even falling that far. So he wasn't even an option for most of these mock drafts. Vic Beasley and Devontae Parker, a lot of writers had Devontae Parker going to the Minnesota Vikings. Why didn't you select either of those two?
You know what? I just believe that we kind of are going to have the receiver thing figured out. And if not, we can go down and pick up the kid from K-State. There'll be receivers in this draft. And Lockett. He's coming way up in the draft. I think that's the kind of guy we would go and pursue. But with Wallace in town now, with our receiving core being what it is, I think it won't happen this way anyway. But let's just speak hypothetically with the way we're having to look at it. With Trey Waynes in our lap, we're going to take him. I think that, you know, Rick Spielman is going to do something completely different, quite frankly.
And he's not going to stay at number 11,
Right. That's right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have to do what you have to do. I still think that's the best need and the best player available at 11. I just do. But it was tempting because you and I both decided that Bud Dupree, whose stock is rising, and you have that going on right now, mm-hmm. a day before, we picked him for Atlanta. And we settled for Beasley, who is still not back. We settled with him moving on. Now, I don't know. That was tempting.
What's the reason Vic Beasley's moving back? Because you think about Shane Ray, who was pulled over yesterday right before dawn, speeding. They found marijuana in the car. Nothing super bad. I believe he got a misdemeanor. Randy Gregory cannot stop smoking weed in Nebraska. He tested positive at the combine. So you have all of these really top 10 talents, linebacker, pass rusher type talents, that have now fallen outside of the top 10. Vic Beasley, now the third one, but for no apparent reason.
It's, you know, a lot of people have different reasons for this. Some would say character with Beasley. Some would say that it's just something that about another player they have a hunch about. The scouts read this, they read that, they don't see the same thing in Beasley, and it only takes one or two guys in that war room to change, to overturn, and like Spielman said yesterday, they've damn near about killed each other three or four times up in that room, at Winter Park, trying to decide what they're going to do. But they've got about three, four, or five different scenarios of what they're going to try to do when it lands to them, what comes to them at 11. And I mean, the gal that was doing the corresponding work said they are literally at each other's throats up in that room right now, and that's what she said. And so it's on. I mean, this thing is on, and there are so many ways to look at these things. And Beasley, for whatever reason, Dan Marino went 29 out of 30 back in the day. He was supposed to be right up. We all know where Aaron Rodgers was supposed to go. He didn't.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you're drafted.
It matters
what happens once you're drafted and you get between the white lines,
it's
obviously.
There's just so much money to these guys. So, but if you misread them, you misread them.
Yeah, if there was no Anthony Barr, would you say hands down there would be a Vic Beasley selection? Is it just over? At this point?
I think, you know what? Beasley's the kind of guy that can fill in for us at middle linebacker right away. So it's a need also. Because he can play inside and outside.
But you'd say the cornerback, Trey Waynes in particular, is more important than
I think in a passing league.
Even though Beasley can play all three downs.
Yeah, still. In a passing league, in our division, with the kinds of receivers we face, absolutely, cornerback has priority over a middle linebacker type.
Well, superstar Mike Morris just took Trey Waynes in our 105 The Ticket mock draft for the Minnesota Vikings at number 11. If you want to follow along at home and you miss some of the draft picks that we've made, we'll go through those as we come back from the breaks. You can also follow us on Twitter at 105 The Ticket. Just make sure you use hashtag Ticket Mock Draft, or you can go to our website, 105theticket.com/mockdraft. Coming up
on the clock, the Cleveland Browns. Chuck Booms is going to help us. Our good friend in Cleveland is going to help us with what he thinks is going to be the best case scenario for the Cleveland Browns. Chuck, get ready. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
I said.
Yeah, the horn's blowing. No question about it. The Vikings have selected. Oh, by the way, if you're looking for a summary of what's happened up until now, we've gotten through 11. We've gotten through the Vikings, but Jameis Winston went first to the Bucs. Marcus Mariota went second to the Titans. Amari Cooper to the Jags. Leonard Williams to the Oakland Raiders. Dante Fowler to the Redskins. Kevin White to the Jets. Brandon Scherff to the Chicago Bears. Bud Dupree to the Atlanta Falcons. Danny Shelton, the big man, goes to the New York Giants. Andreas Pete. Goes to the Rams. They're in St. Louis. Trey Waynes, I've selected to go to the Minnesota Vikings, the cornerback for Michigan State, a pretty good-looking prospect. And now Joining us from Cleveland, we have our very
own.
Chuck Boone's no idea.
Having some problems with, I believe, his bat phone. He's trying to be in trade discussions with another team. He's been texting me all afternoon saying, I want to trade up to number 5, and if not, I'm going to try and trade down. I said, Chuck Boone's, of all people, for God's sakes, would you shut it? It's like trying to wrangle cats here with all these sports writers from around the country to be here at particular times. On this particular day, but
I mean, we all know that by now
he has two picks too. So where is Chuck Boone when we need him?
Funny how that works sometimes.
Son of a gun.
The thing is, it's going to change. It's going to change. A lot of this is just a straight down the list kind of draft, which it probably will not be that way. Probably, and I'm just, this is my feeling, it'll probably be changed up a little bit. I think at number one. With the Bucks, watch
what?
Them throw an okie doke, monkey wrench in this thing.
No.
Watch. I can just hear it now. Goodell coming up to the microphone. Welcome everybody.
As everybody boos, I'll be the boo.
2015 NFL Draft. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select number one in this draft. Blah 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 blah, and anything else but Jameis Winston.
I don't know about that, but yeah,
it's gonna be Leonard Williams.
We've talked so many times that we just don't think that anybody should take Jameis Winston number one overall.
I think it'd be a heck of a liability.
What a waste!
Might be a pretty good, a great talent. I don't know. I'm not totally sure on that one either.
All right, number 12, Cleveland Browns. Let's talk this out, but I think it's probably a slam dunk. They're missing Josh Gordon. He's no longer part of really the sober community, it doesn't seem like. Johnny Manziel having problems, too, but they need some offensive weapons. Everybody wanting to leave the Cleveland Browns in droves. Their defense still pretty decent.
Yeah. They got another great offensive player, a great wide receiver still on the board.
You going to take him? I want to take him.
Better put Parker in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, slap it in there. Devontae Parker.
Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Louisville.
Bolin motions Radcliffe out of the backfield. Throws down the middle. Complete. Parker at the 5. Bounces on the tackle. He's in. Touchdown.
Parker missed the first 7 games of last season with a foot injury, yet still had 43 catches and 6 touchdowns. Standing 6'3 with long arms and strong hands, Parker catches everything that comes near him. He dropped just 3 passes over the previous 2 seasons.
Devontae Parker, I think, very excited at number 12 for the Cleveland Browns for him to kind of fall there. Most, obviously, the 3 big wide receivers going. Amari Cooper, number 3 overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kevin White went number 6 overall to the New York Jets. And Devontae Parker falling number 12 to the Cleveland Browns.
The Jets might have a nice thing going on if they can find a quarterback. But, I mean, didn't they also get Brandon Marshall up there?
The Jets?
Yep.
He said, remember our guy Brian Costello said no guaranteed money, so
that's
we're not
right.
really sure what's going on. But then I told him, too, to have all these wide receivers, don't you need a quarterback? You have Geno Smith. That's something they may obviously attack.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh,
someone else.
In the draft.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's up there? Is it Michael Vick still? I don't know.
No, he's not. He's still a free agent. I don't think he's even signed anywhere.
Yeah.
New Orleans, the Saints are now on the clock. Let's go to Catherine Terrell. Catherine, how are you?
Doing great. How are you all?
I'm fantastic.
Y'all, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, you said y'all.
From New Orleans. From New Orleans. And I have a hard time even saying where you work. The Times Picayune down there in New Orleans. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
I get a lot of grief for saying y'all. I say it a lot.
Do you get grief down there in New Orleans, too, for that?
Well, I think I say it more than most.
Oh, okay.
Well, what part of the country are you from originally?
I'm from Louisiana.
Okay, well then.
The Bayou.
I guess y'all say it that way down there.
The Bayou. Oh, well. Some great reality TV shows about the Bayou down there. But you're on the clock, number 13, New Orleans Saints. First of all, before you tell us who you're going to pick, what are the Saints looking for coming up in this draft? They have 2 picks, by the way.
Well, they're pretty much looking for almost everything, but I think their top needs are a pass rusher, a wide receiver, and either a cornerback or a defensive tackle.
Wow, and not a tight end.
No, I think tight end can come later.
They could pick
one high, but I don't see it.
There's a pretty good one available from University of Minnesota, Max Williams. But
For some reason, in most of these mock drafts and everything that I'm hearing, he seems like he's falling out of the first round.
He's at the very end of the second round.
Wow.
In most drafts.
Wow, what happened?
It's a hunch. And then the word catches.
Yeah.
And it travels like wildfire. And it's just like Teddy Bridgewater. It just catches like a fire, and then people don't even believe what they see on film.
Hmm.
Anyway, With that being said, I don't want to leave Catherine hanging here, so I'm going to make her. I'm going to put her on the hot seat. What do you want to do there at number 13, Catherine?
With number 13, I'd have the Saints pick Vic Beasley.
That's
a great pick.
I think if Beasley's there at 13, you have to take him. I think he's a great pick. I would be shocked to see him there at 13. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like you were saying, suddenly he's falling for no reason. I don't understand why, but I think he'd be a great fit in the Saints defense, and they would be overjoyed to be able to take him at 13 without trading up.
Yeah, I almost had a verbal spat down with the superstar Mike Morris for not selecting him at number 11 for the Minnesota Vikings, but let's listen to this montage about Vic Beasley.
Vic Beasley, outside linebacker, Clemson. A defensive end for the Tigers, Beasley will likely play standing up in the NFL. No matter how he lines up, he's an immediate boost to your pass rush.
Yes.
Clemson's all-time sack leader backed up his on-field production with a great combine and pro day. Great first step, strong hands, and excellent closing speed. Beasley reminds some of Von Miller.
Well, why wouldn't we take him? Vic Beasley,
your corner.
Lucky. Well, I completely get it. Vic Beasley going to number 13, the New Orleans Saints. Catherine, we really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again later on because the New Orleans Saints pick again number 31, so we'll talk to you about 6:34, okay?
Thanks. I'll be back shortly.
All right.
Okay, make it count. Make it count now.
Next time, have some crawfish for us. Or
yeah.
What's that other
one? I'll
make it over the phone. Yeah, some gumbo. Have some gumbo.
Some bayonets. Bayonets or whatever.
Bayonets.
What are they called?
I don't think you can eat those.
You know what I'm talking about.
Can't eat bayonets. Catherine. I mean, y'all can't eat bayonets down there. No way.
Oh, well. Thank you very much, Catherine. We'll talk to you later.
Take care. We'll talk. She made a great pick there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to hang on that long, I don't think.
I can't see him getting past the Vikings. Somebody's going to trade up for the Minnesota Vikings at number 11, and that would be the key guy if he does fall there for Rick Spielman to lick his chops to trade back and get somebody else. That's perfect right there.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, my goodness. Look who's on the clock.
Yep.
Look who's on the clock. Where do we have him right now?
Yeah, normally joins us about 5:30 to talk Twins baseball.
Not
but
now.
Yesterday he said he was, I don't know, it almost seemed vindictive a little bit like he normally is. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Mike Berardino, though, your pick, the Miami Dolphins, you're on the clock at number 14. It's brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink Vitamins. Never tasted this refreshing. Heck of a baseball game today.
I'm open for business. If I'm on the clock, I'm willing to trade down.
You can't trade. No.
You and everybody else.
Get the woman who has number 31 pick back on the phone. Maybe she can let me check my draft value chart, and then she can give me a couple of later round picks. It said this is where the draft gets a little weak, doesn't it?
I agree.
But
I
Bill
totally
Polian
agree.
Told me.
Yeah.
Bill Polian said that over and over. I believe Bill Polian.
I would too.
I should be trading down. You're not letting me trade down?
Well, come on.
I'm not going to let you trade down. You step out of your war room. You're always in a war room, by the way. You are always straight out of a war room, and whether you're talking baseball or football, we have to have a verbatim choice because we're trying to work every team down the line as they come.
So, Mike, before you make the pick, tell us why yesterday you were so all over us to take the Miami Dolphins pick today in our mock draft. You obviously a Dolphins fan.
Grew up one, and I covered the team for several years, and I paid some attention to them from afar. I'm not in that anymore. That's the one team I might, besides the Vikings, have any real interest in who's selected in this draft. So I kind of paid attention to it a little bit, and I just boned up for it by reading a few mock drafts. And I have my own thoughts. I do watch college football, and I do know that I do not want to take a running back at 14, even though they'll probably take Todd Gurley, and that's who Peter King has projected for them. If anything, I think it's a coin flip between Gurley and Melvin Gordon there. I'd be tempted to take Melvin Gordon. I believe he'll be very good. But I know the history of the Dolphins draft. I know they have finally a quarterback who can get the ball deep. I know they got rid of Mike Wallace for whatever reason. Joe Philbin felt threatened by him. They got rid of him, so they'll bring in a rookie speedster on my watch, Philip Dorsett of Miami, who can really fly and is going to go right around that spot in the draft anyway. He ran 2 sub 4.3 40s at the combine. That's good enough for me. I'll live with a few drops. I know Dolphin fans, if that were the actual pick, would be concerned that this would be another Yetiel Green. That's the last University of Miami wide receiver that was taken. That was 18 years ago. But it's time to move on from that. This is not Ted Ginn. They don't have to worry about that with his unusable speed. I think this guy's pretty good and averaged 24 yards a catch. So I'm going with Philip Dorsett.
Okay, hold on. Here's our montage. Don't go anywhere, Berardino.
Philip Dorsett.
There's a deep ball down the field for a wide open receiver. And Philip Dorsett makes the catch. And it goes for a Miami touchdown of 52 yards.
One of the fastest players in this draft, Dorsett can score at any moment. He explodes off the line. And then once with the ball in the open field, he's tough to bring down. 10 of last season's 36 catches were touchdowns. He averaged over 24 yards per reception. Dorsett, though, will have to learn the finer points of the position in the NFL.
Well, he certainly goes at a place, obviously, that I think rightfully so. My only problem with the speedster is that Tannehill, that's the reason they got rid of Mike Wallace, right? Because they don't run that same kind of offense where Mike Wallace runs down the field, they throw the ball up, where Tannehill does have a strong arm, doesn't have that deep, accurate arm.
Well, that may be, but I think they got rid of Mike Wallace because he was threatening the whole power structure there. Joe Philbin does not like strong personalities. Well, they need speed. They need a stretch the field guy. And Tannehill does have the strong arm. It's just a matter of, is the guy going to run under it or not? And it didn't mesh with Wallace. It was actually better across the middle of the field for them than deep in his short time there. But I would roll the dice with this guy. You can always get a running back later. That's the story of the recent last decade and a half of the NFL. And those two guys I mentioned are pretty special, but I'm passing. I'm going for basically the replacement for Wallace.
All right.
It's probably a good idea. And of the two running backs, I've got my own thoughts on this, but which of the two would you select out of the two running backs, Gurley and or Gordon?
Well, I've never spoken to either, man.
I didn't ask you if you spoke to him, you chicky jack.
I put a lot of stock, and I usually like to take my mock draft pick out to dinner. I have a steak dinner with him. And I like to ask him
baseball
what his
guy,
parents
just
did.
Stick to the answering of the question that was asked.
I do like to know what his parents did.
Oh,
and
I don't take him. Guts.
But I would take Melvin Gordon.
Just
physicality of it and the fact that he did not blow out his knee. Sounds like just a first-class human being. He I don't know. I'm not saying Gurley isn't, but he is coming back from a major surgery.
Yeah, he is. It'll be interesting. I love Gurley only because of the fact that he reminds me of Adrian Peterson. I worry about the leg injury, too. But, Mike Berardino, you've gone over your time.
Yes.
Thank you for talking about and drafting the Miami Dolphins pick. Brought to you by Nature's Fury. Nutri-Drink vitamins never tasted this refreshing. The Twins were up quite a bit. They ended up losing today. We don't have time to talk about that, but we'll resume our Twins talk tomorrow afternoon. Enjoy the night off, my friend.
Okay.
Nicely done, Michael. Very good. Nice selection. I think it makes sense.
That was delightful.
I would say, for once. Yeah, for once. Go back to the war room where you live.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye now.
I love him. He's a funny dude, man. We got to take a break right away. And then we're going to come back, and you and I are going to try and do something with San Francisco. With someone who's still up on the board. I think it is, too. We're not going to say anything yet. But come on back. We are through 14 selections. You and I are going to handle 15. San Francisco 49ers next. We are back. The 2015 NFL mock draft. The way we like to do it here at Radio Active Sports. 105 The Ticket. We also have another selection that we're going to have to make. Ben and I are going to have to make because we just didn't have anyone to fill in the blanks there. So we're going to take
Nobody
care
likes
of San Francisco.
You. That's
but,
why.
But you're right. No
but.
One likes me. And quite frankly, I hate you.
Jameis
Winston went first to the Bucs, as expected. I don't see that happening tomorrow. Marcus Mariota goes to the Titans at number 2. Amari Cooper, the Jags, number 3. At number 4, Leonard Williams to the Raiders. Number 5, Dante Fowler to the Redskins. Number 6, Kevin White to the Jets. Number 7, Brandon Scherff to the Bears. Number 8, Bud Dupree to the Falcons. Yes, Bud Dupree. 9, at number 9, Danny Shelton goes to the Giants. Number 10, Andreas Pete goes to the St. Louis Rams. We picked, funny, at 11, didn't see it coming, Trey Waynes to the Vikings. Shocker. At number 12, Devontae Parker goes to the Browns. Number 13, Vic Beasley goes to the Saints. Number 14, Philip Dorsett goes to the Dolphins. And here we are.
Number 15.
Number 15, for the 49ers, I think you and I...
You and I were arguing. You wanted to, take an offensive lineman to fill in for Mike Iupati.
They lost him to the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm sure they did, yeah. No, absolutely. But at the same time, you have to remember that the San Francisco 49ers' new head coach is their former defensive line coach. They also lost a bunch of people on that defense. Patrick Willis and the other guy with concussion. Justin Smith, the young the linebacker from concussion. So I think it has to be Eric Armstead.
Go ahead.
Trades to become a dominant run-stuffing defensive end or defensive tackle in the NFL. He's just explosive off the snap and a jarring punch to gain early advantages, and I think that's what they need to build, again, rebuild that defense. You and I always talk about building front, back, inside out. Eric Armstead.
I do. I don't like this kid either. I really don't. I saw him up against, like, three others. Gregory, Shelton.
Why don't you like him?
He's long and gangly and, is kind of like...
But he can fill out.
Yeah, I think he will, but I don't know if I would pick him this high in the draft, to be honest with you. But he's from Oregon, comes from a great program. He is an enormous human being. I mean, he's a big man. To say that he's going to be dominant against the run, he doesn't look like it. Mm. I mean, he doesn't play like it either. But the pros, that have scouted him endlessly, they're saying that he's going to probably go to the 49ers. I mean, that's all I see across the board is Armstead to the 49ers. So we're going to give it to him.
Eric Armstead, defensive end, Oregon.
Snap, back to throw, slips, steps up, and sacked at the 11-yard line by Eric Armstead. Armstead closed the gap, and the Ducks are going to get the ball back, and their defense has come alive.
The junior D-lineman is straight out of Central Casting, a physical specimen at 6'7", 292 pounds. He is at his best against the run, where his long arms, strong hands, and lower body strength take over. Armstead appears best suited for 3-4 defensive end, where he might remind you of Cardinal stud Calais Campbell.
Well, interesting pick, and it seems like a consensus pick to the San Francisco 49ers. Hope you're happy out there out west. As we move on to 105 The Ticket's Mock Draft, hashtag Mock Draft. You can join the conversation on Twitter. We head to Houston, home of Adrian Peterson. Take it away, AP. Just kidding. Mike Meltzer of Sports Radio 610 in Houston.
Mike, do we have a problem, Houston?
I don't think so.
sure you hear that all the time.
I do think the Texans are in kind of a tricky spot if the board went like this. I would go with Randy Gregory, outside linebacker out of Nebraska.
He's incredible.
The Texans said yesterday they expect Jadeveon Clowney to be a, quote, major contributor in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I don't doubt what they say, but I think Randy Gregory was kind of born to play 3-4 outside linebacker. The Texans will not take players who are in trouble off the field for any reason other than marijuana. Their owner, Bob McNair, said he's okay with players who smoke, quote, marijuana cigarettes. And I think if they're okay with everything else with Randy Gregory, I do think he would be in consideration at number 16 if the board fell this way.
Literally. I think that the Minnesota Vikings had him on top of their draft board before the marijuana cigarette thing happened. But that's quite a player. If he can stay clean, falling all the way to you in Houston.
Yes, and I also think if the board fell this way, I think they would consider a cornerback, and I thought about taking Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest. I forgot if Jalen Collins was available or not, but I think that's something they'll consider. They do have two high-priced corners, one who will be here in the future, Kareem Jackson, one who probably won't be in the long term, and Jonathan Joseph. So I think a cornerback is a viable possibility. I just think Shane Ray, with his injury questions, is someone who would be in play at number 16, just because the Texans have a lot of players with injury questions already, like Clowney. But if they like the talents of Randy Gregory, and they trust his marijuana issues, and they also like the way that he converts to outside linebacker, then I think that would be a real legitimate possibility.
So I guess you're saying that the Texans are high on Randy Gregory.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was
you
funny.
You with the jokes.
I just wrote that.
The jokes.
That's funny stuff. It's a
Shane Ray, though,
tough
too.
Tough room.
Shane Ray with the run-in with the cops yesterday. He also had marijuana. I don't know if they were cigarettes or not on him, but he definitely had marijuana. Interesting about the Houston Texans and your owner down there being completely fine with guys that smoke weed. I mean, a lot of people in the NFL allegedly do it anyway, but once you're caught and in the NFL drug policy, you're once into that program. I don't know, man. I mean, look what happened to Josh Gordon. He's not really playing very many games for the Cleveland Browns, and it all has to do with pot.
Yeah, He likes to smoke that damn dope.
Yeah, this is why I'm not completely sold on this, because I do think one of the things that Houston has going into this draft is I think they need to focus on singles and doubles, if you will. They just have a lot of question marks around the roster. So much of their success has been built on the help of J.J. Watt and the performance of Arian Foster. And so with all the injuries they have, Jadeveon Clowney, Brian Cushing, Jonathan Joseph, Arian Foster, guys who either need to prove they can get healthy or stay healthy, I think this is a draft where they need to acquire good, solid football players, which is why I could see them going corner. I could see them going offensive line. I think if it was in the second round, this would be an easy pick and go with a wide receiver. But I think with the top guys off the board, I'd be a little surprised if they went receiver at 16.
Wow. Interesting.
Interesting enough. Mike, thank you so much for your help. We are having a pretty good day. I think it's landing about the way they're going to land.
Similar,
I think it's very, very close to actually what's going to happen. If they were to be picked straight on with no trades, up or back, mm-hmm. I think this would be pretty close. I'm pretty sure. But thank you, Mike.
Best of luck to you tomorrow night.
Guys.
Take care. We'll talk to you again soon this summer, I would imagine. We're running out of time. We have to move to number 17, the San Diego Chargers. I think we're probably on the same page here. Wouldn't you say?
I guess so. I can almost say that Houston could have been looking at a wide receiver with the loss of Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that each of these teams need. But San Diego, I'm going to take a little break with you, and we'll discuss this thing in the war room, and we'll come out and make a selection. We're on the clock, you and I. Welcome back, everybody. 2015 mock draft here at Radioactive Sports. We've got quite a thing going on here. I'm not so sure it wouldn't be that far off if it were to actually be done this way. It will not be done this way tomorrow.
Yeah, without any trades, obviously.
No trades. And that's the trick here, is to try and pick the most obvious person, a player rather, of both need and the best player available, which is that's the art of drafting. Need and best available player, Jameis Winston, the best available player in the draft. Okay, to the Bucks, Marcus Mariota to the Titans at number 2. Number 3, Amari Cooper to the Jags. Number 4, Leonard Williams to the Oakland Raiders. Number 5, Dante Fowler to the Redskins. Number 6, Kevin White to the Jets. Number 7, Brandon Scherff to the Bears. 8, Bud Dupree to the Falcons. Number 9, Danny Shelton to the Giants. Number 10, Andreas Peet to the Rams. Number 11, Trey Waynes to the Vikings. Number 12, Devontae Parker to the Browns. Number 13, Vic Beasley to the Saints. Number 14, Philip Dorsett to the Dolphins. Number 15, Eric Armstead to the 49ers. And then number 16, Randy Gregory to the Houston Texans. And now we find ourselves looking at the San Diego Chargers. You and I have decided, I think, that
they're going to trade the pick for Adrian Peterson.
Yep, that's it. That is exactly right. No, it won't be that. We've got Melvin Gordon there from the University of Wisconsin.
Bastards.
Melvin Gordon, running back, Wisconsin.
The handoff along the right side. Squirts free to the 10, 5, high steps, touchdown, Melvin Gordon!
The second most rushing yards in a single season in NCAA history. Heisman runner-up. Doak Walker Award winner and first team All-America. 2014 could not have gone much better for Gordon. The Badger is a true home run threat with the speed and move to turn any run into points. But he'll need to improve between the tackles on the next level.
He's good. We saw him play against the Minnesota Golden Gophers, obviously in the Big Ten. Averaged over 7 yards per carry and 2,500 yards on the season. Just unbelievable. He's going to be a heck of a running back in the NFL.
Let me tell you something right now. He is a hell of a running back.
Let me tell you something, brother.
He's a hell of a running back. This kid is special. I think he's better than what they're saying, and how they could even have Gurley ahead of him, ACL or not, before the ACL. I don't know how they could do that.
But if they're keeping Phillip Rivers, you think that they want a guy maybe that could be in the same age,
back.
Same age group, same age range, Adrian Peterson possibly. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's the real thing goes down tomorrow night in Chicago. We're going to Kansas City now. The Kansas City star beat writer for the Chiefs, Therese Paylor. You are on the clock right now, 105 The Ticket Mock Draft. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What do you think the Chiefs are needing? It could be a little of everything. Bo, he takes off. He's gone now. Need a receiver, I suppose. Some offensive linemen being dealt away. What do you got for us?
Obviously, receiver is an option. I think offensive tackle, particularly right tackle is an option. Maybe center, cornerback, obviously. Sean Smith might be facing a suspension. Got to need some guys to cover. And the run defense was pretty poor last year, so got to reinforce the middle of the defense. That's why with the 18th pick, I'm going to select Eric Kendricks, the linebacker from UCLA.
Great player.
He's the cleanest inside linebacker in this draft. You turn on the tape of this guy, it doesn't take long, right? So sometimes you turn on tape of guys and you can just tell that they can play. That's this guy. Athletic three-down linebacker, can stop the run, can play the pass, has lined up in man coverage, has done that. And then the thing that you really like is that the character, the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you know, everywhere you read, this guy's got that. He's got some fire and leadership ability. And, you know, Derek Johnson's a great player, and he's a leader as well. But he turns 33 this year, and he's coming off an Achilles. So if you want to get tighter against the run, if you want to, you know, plug that, you better have a leader in the middle of your defense. And a lot of people say you can't take inside linebackers this early, but I think you can when they're clearly a first-round prospect like Kendricks is, and they're special. So that's why I'm making that pick.
Yeah, he's my favorite pick. In fact, I think in real life, when the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock at number 11, when they trade back, they are going to be targeting Eric Kendricks themselves because of everything that you said and everything that they want in the middle of their defense. Hold on while we play a little montage real quick, okay?
Eric Kendricks, inside linebacker, UCLA. Eric follows brother Michael of the Eagles into the NFL. After starring inside for the Bruins, he'll probably end up on the weak side in the pros. Kendricks attacks downhill, diagnoses plays quickly, and can play sideline to sideline. The Butkus Award winner had 11 games of double-digit tackles last season.
Tackling machine, and if he ends up in Kansas City, you're going to love him down there in Kansas City, that's for sure, Therese. Thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a good one, guys.
You too, man.
You bet. Thank you, Therese Paylor with the Chiefs, the beat writer for the Chiefs down there. A fantastic player. Good selection. I don't know if he'll go that soon, but he deserves to go that soon. They had him on with his brother, Mike, on NFL Network, of course, and they both were talking on the stool with everybody, and they had a nice chat.
Just a tackling machine. We now
really
go to number 19, the Cleveland Browns. Our guy Chuck Booms from 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. Chuck, we missed you earlier in the draft. Your phone, I guess, doesn't accept restricted calls, which is upsetting.
Maybe we're not
paying our phone bill, or otherwise I think we accidentally traded your pick for a couple of five-hour energies and a pack of Cools.
Well, actually, with that pick, we wanted to retake Johnny Manziel, quarterback, Texas A&M, but we're getting the sober one. So now we're really happy. We got our guy. We're taking Manziel. And I saw you guys took Parker. What's interesting about the draft unfolding so far, whoever the maniac is that destroyed me with Cooper at 3 with the Jaguars, that is so interesting. Would they, Cooper's a great kid, but they got burned so bad by Justin Blackmon in the top 10 as a receiver, and they want, that's Gus Bradley. That defense. That is a defensive pick all the way. So that one I don't get. Just to give you guys some fun NFL draft stuff, from a very reliable source of mine, guys, these are the same kind of people that told me Love was coming to Cleveland and some of the other stuff. The Browns are looking to try to go up to 5 with Washington, and they think they can get Cooper there. And this would be amazing. Now, the Browns want to trade the 12th pick, their second-round pick, and I think the 5th-round pick, or the 12th, the 2nd, and a 2nd next year. They're maneuvering all these things around. They want, meaning the Redskins, they want 12 and 19. Obviously, to go up to 5. Might they still do it? Yeah. To get Cooper. Apparently, Ray Farmer is in love with this kid since high school. You put him now with Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline, you've got a pretty damn good group of receivers.
That's a good bunch.
That can catch the ball and make plays. So just from a real draft standpoint, yep, for everybody in the Twin Cities, something to keep an eye on.
That's exactly what we're looking at.
I may have to throw everybody at the ticket here a curve at the last second.
Okay.
It's because I bought that MyPillow and I used the code word ticket and got an extra one, and so I'm very rested. I did not hear running back my man Gurley out of Georgia, did I?
No.
Nope.
Well, I was going to take, the Browns were going to select Dorial Beckham Green, but because you guys went and took Parker for me, we'll let Dorial Beckham Green. I have a thing with guys with hyphens. It's like drafting Olivia Newton-John. And by the way, can you imagine his off-the-field problems coming to help Johnny?
No kidding.
So I am now changing, and the Cleveland Browns will select the running back out of Georgia with the rebuilt knee, and we're excited to do so.
I can quite imagine he's quite the running back. Hold on just a second, Chuck, while we play a little montage.
Todd Gurley, Georgia, running back.
Gurley down the far sideline. He runs by the last guy. He got a piece of his ankle. He looked at his cleat, and there goes Gurley for the touchdown. 75 yards.
It's been a while since Gurley has reached the end zone thanks to November's torn ACL. Without the injury, the Bulldog would have heard his name called much sooner. Gurley possesses an elite blend of size and speed. He's a powerful runner who's not afraid of contact, reminding some of Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, heck of a pick. Reminds me, too, of Adrian Peterson. And if the Minnesota Vikings do end up trading Adrian Peterson, obviously they want to target one of those two guys. But now with both the running backs in the first round off the board, everybody here in the other studios that are manning the draft for us and manning the phones, Chuck Booms, all have their hands up in the air, shaking their heads at you, saying that son of a bitch.
I understand, because it was going to be Dorial Beckham Green. But as the list was run down and I was going over it, and what got me was after I told him DBG, what happened was you guys took Melvin Gordon for San Diego, and I went, wait a minute, let me go back over this. I did not see Gurley off the board. I will tell you this, the actual Cleveland Browns, Fozzie, I know you're excited. The dog pound is going nuts, as you can hear. They love my pick of Gurley. Look, we have two young running backs that are great. They're going to need to run the football. This kid not only is a supreme runner if that knee is healthy, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield, guys. Yeah. And whether it's Johnny at quarterback or Josh McCown, somebody needs to be able to dump it off to a running back that's got some hands and can move. I like our two guys last year, Isaiah Crowell. As you know, the Crow came out of nowhere and did great, the undrafted free agent. They like their two young running backs. But if I'm sitting there at 19 and he's there, I think the Browns would feel the same way. There is no way they're not taking him.
I can completely agree, and I think you're building quite an offense there in Cleveland with those young guys. Soup?
Yeah, I do too, and I think it's the way to go. I think it's, as long as that knee is good, and they normally have a science for doing these knees now. The ACL, it's not a problem. He will come back. He will need a little time at the beginning of the season, but he should be falling right into true form like he was there at Georgia. But thank you, Chuck. I appreciate your time and participating along with our draft, our mock draft.
Listen, my pleasure to be part of it. Don't be surprised, guys, though, and we can talk on Friday or Monday or whatever when the whole thing's over. Cleveland is the one that wants to move up. If they take Marcus Mariota, I won't be able to be on. I'll be hanging from the I-480 bridge if they do that and ruin everything for the Browns. But if they trade up to go get Cooper, it should be a lot of fun. It'll be a great draft. Thanks for having me be a part of it, guys.
Thanks, Chuck. Love you to death.
Thank
all
you.
The way in Cleveland. Thanks for being a part of it. We got to move
stuff.
On.
Jordan Cameron, the tight end, along with that, and Cooper, man alive, would that be something else there in Cleveland? You and I have got to do some Philadelphia Eagle work right now. We don't have anyone as a correspondent there. What do you suppose the nutbag Chip Kelly wants to do? Does he have that much say? I think he's got all the say.
He's got all the say.
And I don't know what he's going to do. What do you think?
What do I think? I think we should take a break. We'll come back to Philadelphia. We'll talk it over just a little bit. We've got Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Detroit in the next break.
Yep.
Follow our Twitter at 105theticket if you want to take part in the conversation. Hashtag ticket mock draft, or you can go to 105theticket.com/mockdraft as well. So we'll be right back on 105 The Ticket.